Welcome, everybody, to the Remnant Call. I am your host tonight, Brother Frank. Glad you're with me. And I've got back our fearless co-host with us tonight, Brother Todd, who is quickly running up to the mic. Brother Todd, why don't you say hello to the audience? We've been missing you.
Hello, audience. How you doing? I've been doing great.
Well, now that you're back, we're going to put you to good work tonight.
Am I getting paid for this, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely. The same amount I am.
Oh, brother.
Well, hallelujah. It's been a wild week through the holidays and everything, and we've seen that, unfortunately, our country has taken a very bad downturn. It seems like one leader cannot just leave the office quietly. He has to try to punish our good ally, Israel, anger our enemies, and pretty much try to turn everything upside down for the new president to take office. And I'll tell you, believers, don't let your hope in the presidency for Donald Trump sway your conviction and your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's when they shall say peace and safety, that's when destruction shall come. And if there was ever a time to be awake and alert, it is right now. And so with that, we are going to get into the program tonight. We've got an exciting program. You may have seen the title, called Prayer and Fasting. Prayer and Fasting, the Believer's Secret Weapon. Now, we've talked about prayer and fasting in the past here on this program. It's an important topic, but we've never dedicated a program to it. And now, you might be wondering, why would it bring it up now? What's so different? We talk about it often, but why dedicate a show to it? Well, this is the time of New Year's resolutions, and everybody likes to get together and do their New Year resolution. Have you ever heard great stories of New Year's resolutions that actually worked out well?
I've heard stories told by people who knew somebody else, who told them a story about somebody that they knew, that their grandparents knew. But nothing direct.
Yeah, they're normally the New Year's resolution is really kind of a joke because it rarely ever works out. People rarely ever stick to it. And the interesting thing we find is that the same thing happens in our walk with God. Many times we have a lot of good intentions and a lot of strong desires, but normally believers find themselves actually crushed and on the outside of this thing we call relationship with our Lord Jesus. And it becomes this struggle that many times it seems to overwhelm the believer to where they feel like they've been beaten down and almost like they can't even continue in this walk anymore at times. And tonight we want to turn that around. So I want to challenge you to listen to tonight's program because it is going to be a very important program. There's a lot of good things. And I'll tell you, the last couple programs of Brother Zev have been powerful. If you did not hear the program on the teaching on Hanukkah the other week, please go to either into our archives here, go to our YouTube channel, the Remnant Call YouTube channel, and just listen to it, because if you haven't heard it yet, you're going to be shocked when you find out that Hanukkah is not just something that happens once a year, but it is a lifestyle. It is a something that's always happened through the Bible from the Old Testament to the New, and it's something that it was so important that even our Lord Jesus Yeshua was in the temple during the Feast of Dedication. I just want to tell everybody, please go check that program out. And also, don't forget, subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and we really want to say thank you for it, because we want the Remnant Call to grow and expand. And we're growing right now, and we're starting, you know, to reach a bigger and a larger audience, and it's exciting. And so just please, all the help and the prayers you can give us, we just really appreciate it. And with that, Todd, I'm going to ask, could you just open us up with a word of prayer tonight?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done, keeping us safe through this holiday season. Lord, I want to pray for the people I know about, and I do, people I work with that have lost loved ones. Lord, people like a good friend of mine, you know their name, Lord, who was diagnosed with uterine cancer. Lord, these things are not in keeping with the holiday spirit, but we know, Lord, that you have us all in your thoughts. Please, God, Let everything that's happened up to this point in all of our lives bring us closer to you. God, we beg that you intervene in this program and that you allow Frank and I to only speak the words that you would have us speak.
Amen.
Lord God, please speak through us. Inspire us. Let your will be done. We surrender completely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, prayer and fasting, the believer's secret weapon. Folks, tonight's program, if you will allow it, if you will allow the Word of God to sink into your heart, will be a game changer in your walk with the Lord. It's not because of what I'm going to share with you tonight, but it's because of what's in the Word of God and the promises that God has made that will change your life. But back to the beginning, to this New Year's resolution, these failed resolutions and these ideas that, you know, we run through as believers that, well, if I can just do this or that, you know, then maybe it will help. You know, during World War II, it was very interesting, the Nazis had came up with many so-called secret weapons in an attempt to spread the German Empire and Hitler's theology all across the globe. Some of the weapons were great ideas, actually, some such as the Schwur Gustav, also known as the Great Gustav. This is the single largest cannon that was ever built and used in history. Only two of them were actually built. The second one was called Dora. It was designed by the Krupp Industries, an ultra-heavy railway gun weighing around 1,350 tons. And could fire, if you can believe this, a 7-ton shell projectile at a range of 29 miles. Now, that's one big bullet. This was truly a terrible, frightening weapon with a mass destruction capable and sure to be an ace in the hole for the German army. The only problem was that it took over 2,000 men to run the gun between laying the specialized track to assembling and disassembling it to move. And also the fact that it took a half an hour just to load it. But with all that destructive power, it had to be worth it. The one thing that they had not thought about, unfortunately, was how huge and easy the gun was to see from the sky. It was bombed out of commission and was a huge flop for the German military. People and nations, folks, have always been looking for a secret weapon, sometimes to win easily, to take on any force, no matter how powerful it may be, a secret weapon that was sure to never lose. Unfortunately, though, it is more often only in the movies that it actually works. Many times, folks, as believers, as Christians, as those who walk in the faith of our Lord, we're also looking for these secret weapons to our spiritual life. If, you know, you've heard it before, well, if I could just, you know, read this certain book or maybe attend the correct conference or maybe, Todd, if I could just pray at the same time that Daniel prayed, you know, that would be the secret weapon I'm looking for. But as many of you have noticed that these things rarely, rarely ever work. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. Daniel set a wonderful example in the way that he prayed in his spiritual practices. They were great things, but it's not the formula of Daniel that grows your life. It is the power of God through his spirit that transforms the believer into a new creation. We as believers, though, are also like the nations. Through history, we are involved in a battle. And even though, Todd, our weapons are not carnal, we do have spiritual weapons, don't we?
Yes, we do.
God has given us tools to do battle within the spiritual realm that are for pulling down strongholds of Satan's kingdom. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, you know this well, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, Todd, you have experienced these same things. You grew up, you know, you were a believer, and you had your ups and your downs. But I know for you personally, when you got serious with your walk with God and you began to apply these techniques of real prayer, earnest seeking God, your life changed, didn't it?
Of course it did. I mean, that's all you pretty much have to do. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, folks. It's not a cakewalk. It's not something that happens overnight. And the residual effects of everything that you've done come back to haunt you sometimes, you know, in thoughts. whether it be in urges or whatever it may be, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you are losing your way. That's just the enemy's way of trying to jab at you and make you feel as if you don't have the victory that God assured us that we actually do have.
You know, it's sometimes through the struggle that we often see our greatest victories.
Very true.
But when there's no struggle, oftentimes the victory is taken for granted and quickly turns into a loss.
Yes.
Now, I want you, if you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. And I'm going to just read down through verse 9 here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 through 9. It says this: "When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So here God declares to his disciples to wait. Hold on a minute. Wait, I need you to wait on the promise of the Holy Spirit so that when you receive it in its fullness God intended you to have, then you will have the power to go into the strongest of the strongholds of the enemy's territory to share this good news of the everlasting gospel to set the captives free. This is a clear statement that Christian power comes not from themselves, but only from God. I know, folks, so often we want to have that victory immediately. We want to go forward and conquer. We want the disciples, they wanted Jesus to set up his kingdom now. They wanted him to destroy Rome. They wanted to see this happen right now. But it wasn't time yet, and God did not want them to go right out into the battle. They had to take time first and wait upon the Spirit of God. Most of us, we see the evidence of God's Spirit working, but many of us, if not the majority of us, know this promise that God telling us to wait, but it seems like it never fully comes. And the reason I believe, Todd, that it doesn't always fully come is if we will honestly inspect our own lives, we do not have any patience to actually wait for God to move in our own lives.
Very true.
We want it now because we're used to instant gratification.
Yeah.
We don't have any struggle in our modern society.
Yeah.
We're used to instant facts, instant news, instant videos, instant, hopefully, podcasts from Blog Talk Radio. We're used to these things instantly. but we often, if we look at it honestly, we do not spend the time alone with God to be filled with the promise of his Spirit.
That's right. How many years was it Paul spent before...
He went 3 years out in the wilderness before he started his ministry.
That's right.
So, yeah, he took a little bit of time. And Jesus is saying here, look, you cannot go out yet. There's a promise coming from my Father. It's coming down, and I'm going to fill you, but I need you to wait and be patient. See, a lot of us, it seems like we see it in others, and maybe we've actually tasted it a little bit. But the majority of believers are just struggling to have that fuller taste of God's power. They really want it. They want this ultimate peace passes all understanding. They're begging for it, but they often feel so defeated that they can't get it. But if they would just open up their eyes and take an honest introspection into their lives and say, am I following what God asked me to do? It's amazing that Jesus, if you think about it, by the time he was 12 years old, the Bible says that he was astounding the scholars. He was blowing their minds, okay, in the temple. He had all the knowledge. He had all the gifts from heaven. And when he was baptized, okay, and the Spirit falls down, and so it's so tangible that even John the Baptist sees it as a dove coming down from heaven, okay? And it's so powerful. Jesus had everything in the world that he could have needed to go and start a mega church, okay?
Yeah.
A church that had made Joel Osteen's look small, okay? And he had all these things, but instead of going out and starting this mega church, Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days, and he humbles himself through prayer and fasting and seeks his heavenly Father. Folks, I want to make this clear. God wants you, wants me, wants all of us to have this full provision of his Spirit in the power of the living God, to live in the fullness of his Spirit. But we have to ask ourselves, are we honestly doing what our Father in heaven asked us to do? Are we listening to the words that our Lord Jesus said? Or are we just rushing out, and when God doesn't provide, we're angry and we're upset and we're like, God, then why can't I just have peace? Or why can't I just have this? Or why can't I have – and I have to ask myself, am I honestly doing what God asked me to do? Turn with me over to Matthew 17. And Todd, I'm going to ask if you could read some scripture here for us. Matthew chapter 17, and I'm starting in verse 14. And Todd, could you take that down through 21?
Yes. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting.
So here's a father with his son, and he brings him to the disciples, and they cannot cast this devil out. And so he goes to Jesus and says, you know, your disciples, they can't, what's wrong? I mean, and I think they're perplexed. They couldn't do it either. They had the power. And so here Jesus rebukes the devil, sends him out. And so his disciples come to him quietly and they're like, why couldn't we cast him out? And so Jesus says to him, it says, because of your unbelief. See, the problem of why they couldn't cast the devils out was actually not because the devils were so powerful, but it was because of their unbeliefs. People miss that in the interpretation of this very often. They think it's just because they're stronger devils, but it's because of the unbelief that they could not cast them out. But the problem is that what causes unbelief are sometimes these evil, foul spirits that we got to shake off in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these devils are deeply rooted, and they cause unbelief. The devil wants nothing more than your old man or your old woman to come up and rise to the top and bear its ugly face again. And so in order to overcome this intense unbelief, you know, this attack by the devil is through prayer and fasting. Jesus says there's just some battles you're not going to overcome without prayer and fasting. Folks, fasting, it's a secret weapon from God that he has given his people. It's a forgotten practice that was once a staple in the believer's walk. Contrary to modern belief, fasting is not just an option. It's not just something, well, if you want to do it. It is a weapon, and Jesus even said in his own word, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. See, they were getting upset with Jesus because they were like, hey, why aren't your disciples fasting? You're like, look, they don't fast because the bridegroom's here, okay? When Jesus comes again on this earth, the bridegroom will be with us. That's one thing. But he said there's coming a time when the bridegroom will be taken away again, and then they shall fast. Folks, if you're a believer, if you're walking with God, fasting is not only just a suggestion, it's a command for God's people to humble themselves. Now, I know whenever it comes to fasting, we do everything it seems like to dumb down our fasting as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to fast for TV. Well, maybe you should fast from TV for good. I'm not saying it's all bad, okay? I'm just saying, I understand you want to fast from this or fast from other. But, folks, sometimes we need to draw out the soul unto hunger.
Yeah.
Now, I understand we have medical conditions and there's certain people. I don't want anybody to risk your health. But I'm telling you right now, you will not risk anything unless you have a serious medical condition by going without some food for a while. You might risk growing closer to God. And to me, that's a good risk.
That's a really good risk.
It's worth taking. But we often try to water it down. And we wonder, is that just an Old Testament practice? And Jesus says, no. No, it is not. It is a command from our Lord. Our Savior, Lord Yeshua, said, there will come a day when he will be taken away, and then they will fast. You may be wondering why I've brought this up here and there over our programs, because folks, I want you to understand that there is so much power in prayer and fasting, and God has provided to be this victorious way that no matter what's going on in your life, that no matter how bad you've been, no matter how much of a failure you can be, that if you will humble yourselves, God will make a change in your life. It's not what you can do. It's what he will do through you. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 1-4. This is what it says. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with all the others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazor Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So what's happening here is Jehoshaphat, there's trouble. And so he gathers all of Israel together, all of Judah, to proclaim a fast throughout there. And he gathers them all together. And so Jehoshaphat, he goes on, he stands up, and he prays this powerful prayer. And I would love to read it, but there's just not enough time for everything, in front of the children of Judah, in the hopes that the God of the universe would answer from heaven. And it's down here starting in verse 13. Todd, if you could pick that up and take it down through verse 15.
And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jazeel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Aspha, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
So here, Jehoshaphat has everybody out there together. They're all gathered together. They're proclaiming a fast before the Lord. They're seeking God with all their heart. And God reminds them, don't be afraid. This battle is not yours, but it's God's. In verse 16, it says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So God said, listen, don't worry about this. God's going to be with you. They were in a crisis. And I look at this story and I see God's amazing promise. And I have to ask myself, did God love Jehoshaphat more than he loves us? Of course he didn't. Was Jehoshaphat somehow more of a child of God than we are? Well, no. But it's in verse 3 and 4 that the key is here. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat was in over his head. This was not something that he could take on. And instead of just sitting there running and cowering and wondering what's going to happen, he gathers God's people together to do the one thing he knows to do, and that's to fast and seek God, to humble themselves before the Lord. And so while the kingdom faced sudden destruction, Jehoshaphat sought God in his weakness, in his failure, in his nothingness. He seeks God, and God says, don't you worry. This battle, it's not yours, it's mine. See, it's no different for us. We are in the same situation as Jehoshaphat. We're up against a spiritual battle like we as believers have never known before. People can now live and do whatever they want, and we will just call it natural. Sin no longer being called sin. The devil has an absolute stronghold, and God needs a people, and the church is failing at this moment in time in many parts of the world, and especially here in the United States. We have children that are facing things in school that are untrue. They're ungodly. There's more pornography. There's more filth on the internet, the television, everything else. We are being bombarded like crazy. And many of you believers, even maybe listening right now tonight, you have known some things to be wrong and you have wavered in your faith and said, well, maybe they just can't help it anymore. And the devil is sitting back and laughing at the church of God because they can't stand for truth anymore.
Very true.
And God does not want that. Prayer and fasting is a secret weapon to empty yourselves and allow God to step in and fill you with the Spirit. Not only will it change your lives, but it will also change the lives of others. See, it's not that you're going to start fasting, Todd, and then all of a sudden God's going to say, okay, well, you've got credit now in the kingdom. I'll now answer your prayer because you've been fasting. It's more of because you're saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I must have you. I can't force God's hand, but I could say, God, I can't do it, so I'm going to humble myself and ask you to do it. And it's at that moment that God begins to make changes in our lives. Todd, talk to us. Tell us, you've had some experience with this.
When I was living the way I shouldn't have lived, when I was coming home and getting drunk every night and then going out and driving, that wasn't smart. Mm-hmm. But when I was doing stuff like that, I was definitely disconnected from God. No matter how much I wanted to get close to him. But, you know, you realize at a certain point, and, you know, thank God that I came to a place where I'm surrounded by godly people. That helps too. You know, aside from the fasting and praying, your company matters as well. Sometimes Amen. You can't get out of that until you actually do reach out to God, because when Satan's got you, he ain't going to let you go so easily. However, keep that in mind. I did realize that once I really made it up in my mind that, you know what, something's got to change. So it started with me, because God was already there. I just didn't accept it. So when I made the change, when I made the mindset that I wanted to change my life and I wanted to live, you know, according to the biblical principles, it was amazing to see how hard it was for me to even want to fast at first, because you're so involved in pleasing yourself. And if you look at it, I wasn't alone, because a lot of you all out there are the same way. You may not think about it this way, but when you're hungry, you eat. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to go on a diet to lift weights or, you know, look good for the summer, then yeah, you may do that for a short period of time, but that's still self-gratification, because you're just being vain. You're not doing it to die to yourself. Your appetite, you know, from the original sin, it had to do with food. And today we all struggle with food, especially here in the United States of America. It's just funny to see that parallel, how, you know, stop feeding yourself for a little while, take a break from you and focus on what's really important. And I'll tell you what, the clarity of mind that hit. Now, do keep in mind, I've fasted before. This wasn't the first time I fasted. It's just the first time I fasted the right way. Because,
that's interesting.
You know, growing up in a household of Christians, yeah, I knew about fasting. I ate very well. I was probably the healthiest kid in my school. I was raised a vegan. My brother and I were always the strongest, the fastest. We learned how to fast from my grandmother. We did it with just water. We knew how to do it, but you see, you don't really realize what you're doing when you're under the protective wing of, you know, your mom or your grandma. So when I decided to make that change, it was rough. I'm not going to lie. It was rough. And I started to evaluate why it was rough. That's just the type of person I am. I try to evaluate everything for what it is. And it was rough because I was still all about me. Matter of fact, if I don't watch out, it can still happen today. Like, even now, it's been a little while since I fasted seriously with no food. Not just doing a no-meat fast or something, but no food whatsoever. It's been a while, so I think it's about time for me to do a no-food fast. But, you know,
it's been a few, yes.
Getting back to the meat of the question, my life transformed. My taste for alcohol, taste for drugs, tobacco, and all this other stuff that I don't necessarily need to do ever again in my life has gone away. But like I said at the beginning of the program, the devil will always tempt you. And this is a refuge to where you can go back to, where you can clear your mind and you can allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of
you. Well, you said something interesting, Todd, because this is exactly where I'm going. You said when you started to fast the right way. Now, folks, we know that many times in the Bible, certain things are put out. It's not just that you prayed, okay, well, I pray just like Daniel three times a day at the same time. That's not it. It's not that you pray three times. But when it comes to fasting, there is a right way and there's a wrong way. And you will quickly find out, if you ever want to do a study of all of the revivals in the Bible, you will quickly find out that they all happen the same way. Normally it was Israel had fallen backslidden. They had gotten into a crisis, and they came and they humbled themselves and wept before the Lord, and God revived them. You'll find that pattern's happened over and over again in the Bible. And you'll find out that when it comes to fasting, that you need to look at the way God says to do it. Isaiah 58 is one of my favorite places in the Word of God. In Isaiah 58, God says this in verse 6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." And then, verse 9, "Shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and in thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." And so God's saying here, listen, I know there's all kinds of method. I'm fasting for this and that, and that may be a great thing. Folks, fasting from technology is a wonderful thing, okay? Yeah. Don't fast during the time when you need to listen to the Remnant call. But fasting is, unless God's calling you, please do. But I'm just saying that fasting is a great thing from certain things, but there is a time when we need to fast from food, period. And God said, there's a time when you need to draw out your soul to the hungry. Look, take your food that day that you would normally go drop it off at a homeless shelter. Go drop it off. Go give it to somebody that doesn't have. Take care of somebody that doesn't, okay, during that time. Don't go out and show everybody else that you're praying and, or you're fasting that day. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the Pharisees that love for people to see that they're fasting. But, you know, wash your face as the body. Anoint your head. You know, just look normal.
Hmm.
Look normal. And if you need to do sackcloth and ashes, then do it. But just do it at home.
Yeah.
And be quiet about it. And what God sees you do in private, he will reward you openly.
Yes.
See, here's the interesting thing. This is why I love this so much. Is because in verse 6, it says, if you will do the fast that God has chosen, not the fast that Todd's chosen or Frank's chosen or you've chosen, but the fast that God's chosen, he says, I will break every yoke. Now, Todd, I hate to blow past this verse, because if I'm reading this correctly, God is saying that I can break any sin that's binding you. If you're struggling with pornography, fast. If you're struggling with alcohol, fast. If you're struggling with tobacco, fast. If you're struggling with gluttony, fast. Whatever it is that you're struggling, if you're struggling with not praying, fast. I mean, the best thing you can do is be honest with God. Tell him the truth. Lord, I'm struggling. I'm fasting and I don't even feel like fasting. Okay, God can work with that. But when you fast just so you can get your way, or just so you can have a clear mind. Todd, you were right when you mentioned clarity of mind. That's why Jesus said you fast for debate and strife, that the Bible said. Listen, that's a known little secret that people that want to be sharp on things can fast and their minds will be lightning fast.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a natural health benefit from fasting.
There's a seminar out there that I heard that I told you about a while ago. Remember this guy, he drew the correlation between fasting and stunting the onset of Alzheimer's. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that now. Yes, that was I saw the news on that.
Right.
Yeah, I think you might have sent it to me. It was fascinating stuff, though. Yes, the health benefits are amazing. But I want to talk a little bit about practical ways to fast, because we really, honestly, maybe you've never fasted before. Maybe you don't understand what it's like to fast. And I want to talk about some practical ways for fasting, because I learned about fasting from my good friend Benjamin Brook years ago. I remember I used to fast at least one day a week. And I'm telling you that now because not to brag, that's what I used to do all the time. Unfortunately, I'm not doing that like I used to. But you know what? This is the season to make some changes. Mm. It's time to go back to fasting often, okay? And not to boast, but to say we need to do it. It's time is short and we've got to be ready. But let's talk about practical fasting. How do we fast and pray? Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple of different types of fasts out there. There are the fasts where you just simply fast from something that's distracting you, okay? Those are the fasts from technology. One time I fasted from news for, I don't remember how long it was. I'll tell you what, I realized how big of a stronghold news had on my life. And so that was a good thing. But let's talk about fasting, though, a little deeper, and that's from the food part. Now, there are one-day fasts. Some people do a three-day fast. Some people do a 7-day fast. Some people go a 21-day. I even actually knew a man who used to do a 40-day fast. Okay, I'm not saying that, all right? I'm not telling anybody to do that right now.
We are not condoning.
No, we're not saying that, okay? You better hear from heaven on that one. And not in your own head, but actually from the Lord. But let me tell you like this. Let's talk about the 1, 3, and the 7. And actually, I found out it's better to break on the 8th day, not on the 7th. The reason is that when your body naturally goes through cycles where you recreate cells in your body every X amount of hours, and every so often your cells die off and your body recreates new one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every 7 days your body renews and regenerates stuff too. And you can look it up there on the internet. There's cycles to the way your body works. And so, but let's talk about first the 1 day fast. Now, usually, if you want to fast the biblical pattern, you know, might want to start sundown the night before till sundown the next day, or whatever time you want to do you're fasting from. But a 24-hour fast where we don't eat any food for 24 hours and only drink water. Now, there is a fast without water, and that's in the fast of Esther, and that's on Yom Kippur, where they don't drink water. And if you want to, I encourage you to partake this year in Yom Kippur, where they don't eat or drink for one day. And I'll tell you, you'll find out a phenomenon. When you don't drink water for one day, you don't eat, you won't be hungry. That's a little phenomenon that happens on Yom Kippur. You don't get hungry that day when you don't drink any water. But we fast and drink water for a day, and we pray and seek God. Now, you're going to find some struggles on that day of fasting. You're going to get tired. You're going to get things the devil's going to want to keep you down. But you push through and you seek God, and he will reward you. Now, we also have the three-day fast where you fast for 3 days. It gets a little more challenging into the 3 days. But I tell you, three-day fast is a great thing, but you're so close to breakthrough on 3 days that I encourage you to seek after some initial fasting for the seven-day fast and actually breaking it on the eighth day. The reason I say this is because you'll find a phenomenon that happens about after the third day into the fourth day on a long-term fast. You'll find that your hunger will actually leave you after about 4 days or so. You will actually no longer be hungry anymore. Remember Jesus, the Bible said, and he was a hungered. Well, when Jesus on that long-term fast, I can see now that the hunger probably went away for quite a while, and then it finally returned. That's when the devil tried to come and tempt him. We have the 3 day fast, but the 7 day and breaking it on the eighth day fast is what I would challenge everybody to eventually work towards. Now, the longer you fast, it is a little difficult on water. So there are some interesting things that you can do. I learned this. I don't have the research right now. I'll try to maybe find it. We could post it out there. But there was a man in Brazil, I think it was, in South America, who had done some research, and it was not necessarily on fasting like this, but they found out through, I can't remember how it happened, but what they did was they took raw vegetables, carrots, beets, celery, sometimes add a little mint in there, and they chop them up into real small pieces and put it into distilled water. And what will happen is the reason you want to use distilled water is because distilled water is empty water. There's nothing in distilled water. It's empty and void of everything. So it will naturally want to draw nutrients into itself. So when you take up these fresh carrots and your celery and beets like that, and that's one of the recommended recipes, celery, carrots, and beets, I believe, and sometimes I put a little mint for flavor, and you put it in that distilled water, and you just let it sit there and soak. It's amazing. The water will turn purple. You can actually tell when it's time to refreshen the vegetables because your water will go back clear again.
Oh, wow.
So because as you drink it off, you can fill a little more water, and then you'll see it get a little more diluted. But they found out that when you're drinking that distilled water, the water off those raw vegetables, it helped to strengthen, and it was a process in continuing to cleanse the body. So I would recommend this. It's a great process. You just take some distilled water, cut those veggies up, and put them in there, and then just drink that water off. And God, I tell you, folks, something will happen. When you hit that fourth day, I'm going to tell you, you're going to experience something that's very interesting. You're going to feel less sinful. I'm telling you the truth. You're going to feel less kind of like it's going to the bad is going to feel like it's just being drawn out of you. I don't know how to explain it anymore, but you're going to begin to feel the best thing I can say is less sinful, because what's happening is as you are emptying your body, you've got to replace it, and God's spirit begins to get in there, and your desire for things that are unhealthy begin to fade, begin to go away. And something new starts to happen. And folks, I want to tell you, when you begin to fast that out there, oh my, things begin to happen. And like I say, the reason you don't want to break it on the seventh day, I used to always go 7 days and break it at the end of the seventh day. The reason you don't want to break it there is because the seventh day is the day your body purges itself. And it begins new. And so you want to break it on the eighth day. Now, let's take this a little farther. When it comes time to breaking the fast, what do we do to break it? Well, what we do is every day that you fast, you need to take that amount of days to come back into normal food eating. So if you fast for 7 days, break it on the eighth, you need to take seven more days before you get back into full eating. So, for example, you're fasting, you're breaking it on this day, on the eighth day. The first day, you're just going to start out with something really, really mild, maybe like a little bit of a vegetable broth and everything like that, you know, and go from there. And there's actual guides out there on how to do it. Maybe the second day, you begin to have a little bit of yogurt, maybe with some probiotics in it. Actually, if you have a child or a family member you trust, have maybe you make some broth in there, have them actually eat off of the spoon, and then you eat from the same spoon if they're a trusted person, and you'll get some bacteria back in your stomach again going around like that. It's another way if you don't have probiotics, but a lot of yogurts and stuff do, and maybe you don't want to stay vegan and stay away from that anyways. There's other ways to get probiotics back in. You can just buy the little packets and put them into anything and eat them. Sure. But you need to begin to get those digestive juices and bacteria back into your stomach, because you will get empty. Now, just another note that your body will actually tell you when it's done fasting too. If you go even a little bit longer than 7 days or 8 days, and folks, please talk with a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I have no medical experience, but your body will tell you when it cleanses yourself. Your tongue will turn back pink and red like it's supposed to be. Your tongue will turn back to a natural color when your body has cleansed itself. And that's another thing you can learn. But so as you begin the second day and then the third day, and maybe you have a little bit of lettuce, some light salad or something like that, and you begin to slowly introduce a little bit back in, because let me tell you what, if you go back into eating right away, you will ruin your fast. Because beside the spiritual, which is the most important, there are health benefits. God does everything. That when you're spiritually connected, it's good for the body. Matter of fact, reading the Word of God is actually good for you. It's in the Scripture. It's actually healthy for you. And so you get physical benefits besides spiritual when you fast, and you don't want to ruin that. You're also going to get really powerful stomach cramps when you get back in. And let me tell you right now, one little other word of advice: when you're coming back on, especially, don't eat fruit and vegetables at the same time. Unless it's an apple, you can eat with vegetables. But when you, certain enzymes in fruits and vegetables do not mix very well together and will give you gas and bloating when you're trying to come back off. And your stomach's at a very sensitive point. And anybody that's familiar with juicing will tell you that's just a good practice. You don't juice, you can only juice certain vegetables and fruits together. The apple is universal. It can go back either way. And actually, they use apples to actually cleanse out the juicers with sometimes. So that's just some practical guides to fasting. And I'm telling you, God will make a change. So start out with a day, you know, make it, then take it to 3 days, and then shoot for that seventh, breaking it on the eighth day, and whatever God leads you to. And folks, I'm telling you right now, as I stand here today on the Word of God, your life will change. Prayer and fasting, I'll tell you, I'm going to give it to you in a country boy perspective. Prayer and fasting is like taking a double-barrel shotgun of faith and pulling both triggers at the same time. It will energize your walk with God. It's not an option. It's not an option. Fasting is a part of the believer's life, and if you're not doing it, you are missing out. God wants to do a work to prepare us for the last days, and fasting, you heard it. He said he could break every yoke. Many of you, you've been looking for a promise. You've been looking for the right book. You've been looking for the right sermon to hear. You've been looking for the right pastor to sit under. You've been looking for the right church to go. And the simple fact is, it's been right in front of you the whole time. Prayer and fasting together will allow God to make a change in your life.
I don't think that a lot of people understand just how difficult this is going to be, just to prove to you that spiritual warfare is true. Tonight, maybe after you finish listening to this, whenever you listen to it, set up a plan for yourself, you know. Don't set it out too far, because there'll never be a right time. You just got to do it. Something will always pop up. Just set up a plan. Just go ahead. Just say, I'm going to start on this day. If you want to do the fresh vegetables and the distilled water, that's great. Go ahead and do that. Get that all together. And then just keep in mind maybe come back and listen to this program later, how hard it's going to be to start. And when you do start, how hard it's going to be to stay on it, because you're going to be around people who are cooking mac and cheese, brownies, pastries of all kinds. People are going to start bringing you food and just, hey, why don't you try this? Hey, why don't you do this? You have no idea. It's hilarious, actually, because it happens to me every time.
The devil wants to get you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what I would say is, Todd is exactly right. The devil will try, but you stick it through for a few days and you will find the breakthrough.
Yes.
And he will flee. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes it's very hard to resist on a full stomach.
Oh, yeah.
But when you humble yourselves, folks, it's not a magic bullet. It's a secret weapon.
That's right.
Okay. It's not magic bullet. It's a secret weapon. And because it's a secret weapon, it's not that it's you, it's God. And you're going to be tempted to get off that fast. You're going to find I can't fast today because of this, that, and the other. I'll tell you what, you will always find an excuse. I remember when we wanted to start the Remnant Call program. There was always a reason why it wasn't the right week. It wasn't this. And finally, I just said, you know, it will never be the right time. And I started it with everything going crazy. And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, folks, with that, I want to close tonight saying prayer and fasting is the secret weapon. Don't neglect. This year, stop making the New Year's resolutions. Stop that. You'll never follow through with it anyway. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Translated, let your yeses be yes and let your noes be no. And just do it. Let God work through you and create this new powerful believer. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. God desires that you live and walk righteously with him. It's not your righteousness, it's his, but you've got to be willing to allow him to put it on. And if you're all filled up with distractions and everything else, God cannot dwell where there's no room for him to dwell. He needs a vessel that he can fill. And I tell you, if you don't fill it with God, you'll fill it with something else. So tonight, I want to encourage you, this year, no New Year's resolutions. Give it up. Let's start prayer and fasting and seeking God. Our email remnantcall@outlook.com. Send me your testimony. Send me a story of your fasting and prayer. Let's read it on the air. Let's share the good news of what God can do through prayer and fasting, and let's change this thing and turn around and let's win as many souls as we can to the kingdom, and let's watch the devil be defeated as the word of God says it. And I just want to encourage everyone to keep looking up, because it's all coming down very soon. Amen. And this is Brother Frank and Brother Todd from the Remnant Call saying good night and shalom.